Today, I'm going to bring you someone that you've always known and been influenced by, but you didn't even know they existed. A conclave member, one of the oldest conclave members who goes back just about as long as anyone does, whose name is Christos. And Christos is the person that I go to whenever I have problems, unsolvable problems especially, or if I need engineering advice because he's an engineer, or if I need, you know, the Buddhist version of understanding a particular problem. People would say that we're in apocalyptic times, and they get all freaked out because they think the story of apocalypse is bad. Read the story. It's a good story for those who are put on the white linen gown and go under the throne of God. Oh, it's the greatest victory story ever written, but people only talk about the bad. Or when they talk about the fact that in 1899, we ended the dark age of the Hindu philosophy called the Kali Yuga. These are 400,000 years that they have mapped out, and they've described what happens in each of these yugas. So Kali Yuga was the age of darkness. Satya Yuga started right at 1900, basically, and it is an age of light. And so are we really in an age of light? And then we look around and it looks so crazy. It looks like the war of all against all, right? And then you hear the World Economic Forum saying, we need a reset. Or you hear all the economists saying, it's all a bust. It's a bubble. And basically the question boils down to, is this the end of the civilization? And put that in perspective. Does that mean it's the end of the world? Can the Western civilization as we know it end because of its rank immorality and its genocidal tendencies for eugenicism and basically destroying people? Or can we find a new way to start a new civilization? So I love asking you unsolvable questions, but what do you say about that, Christos?
Well, gee whiz, I'm glad you brought me the simple one today. I think the planet will keep around for billions of years. So in terms of civilization, those are always changing. Do you think the Egyptians thought that they were gonna, civilization was ever gonna end, or the Romans or anybody? Fiat currencies only last the longest one has lasted 350 years. So really, you know, that's not a long time in civilization's history. Yeah, I think it's all about transformation. You know, how do you deal with transformation? Are you prepared for things to transform from where they are to another place? Are you ready for some kind of transition that might occur? I think that's what it's about. You just have to be prepared and adaptable.
Anyway. You were so right about civilizations. I mean, look at ancient India. You've been to India, and you get to see civilizations that are still around from 10,000 years BC. They're so mystifying. People can't really explain things. They seem like their stories are, you know, half made up legend, crazy mythology. But then you look and you find, no, this was actually making reference to real things. So you see the ancient Indian culture. Well, that's actually, they now found the Harappian culture goes back to 10,000 BC. And so then you have the Persian culture. And by the way, you know, Gebser and William Irwin Thompson and Oswald Spengler and Rudolf Steiner and so many people have made a list of how it is that civilizations evolved until we came to what we have now. And they generally start off with a system something like this. So ancient India, these civilizations, they're gone. We barely can understand them. And when you go back to ancient India, if we even described, like the Kumbh Mela is going on right now, right? Mm. The largest gathering of people in the world. And then they recite the whole Mahabharata, the Ramayana, dancing it, you know, with the monosyllabic language that goes back to time immemorial. They recite all the Vedas. They recite all these holy books all by memory. Well, that's almost impossible for a Westerner to believe. So here you have in the West, someone who can't remember anything, so they keep it on their telephone, their iPhone. But in the Far East, they remember things that are almost unimaginable. Then you have ancient Persian culture. We barely know about the ancient Persian culture. The last remnants were Zoroastrianism. How about Egypt and the Chaldean, the Mesopotamian cultures? Well, we have barely deciphered 25% of the hieroglyphics that we find inscribed in stone in Egypt. In other words, we've barely begun to understand the Egyptians. What happened to their civilization? Why did it disappear? Why did Angkor Wat, one of the greatest building structures in the world, just get covered up with the jungle? And then we go into the Greek-Roman times. That's a little closer to us, and so we're still living in the dying civilization. Some would say, Oswald Spengler would say, just like the Romans died and you got to see how they died, he's actually analyzed how civilizations die, and he says we're in the last death throes of Western civilization, which carry over a lot of the Greek philosophy and a lot of the Roman legal litigation and all this stuff. But really, in 1415, we became Renaissance people, Renaissance human beings, who should have complete capacities in all directions of thinking, feeling, and willing to be able to do whatever it is that you want, because we've entered into this, what you could call the Satya Yuga, the age of light, and it's the time when all wisdom is made available. As you know, Christos, if we want, because Christos is also a student, a very deep student of Tibetan Buddhism, if we want any of the sacred books, we can get them. And if they haven't been translated, don't worry. We can get them translated. There's nothing hidden from us. So all the ancient wisdom that there has ever been is available now, and yet people turn to their phone to play games on their iPhone. Right? But the greatest wisdom in the world is available to them at their fingertips. So I think we can see that some of the seeds of the inherent dissolving of the Western civilization. But the question is, what will lead us into the future?
Well, we're going to have to lead ourselves into the future, unfortunately. No one's going to lead us. We're in charge. So what are we going to do about the future? We can't depend on somebody else to come and save us from the future. We created the future with our decisions and choices. So that means we have to take personal responsibility for the events that are about to transpire, because we've either been asleep at the switch and we let a lot of stuff come down, which was not good for everybody, including the global population. It's either going to fall apart or it's going to be transformed somehow, hopefully not into slavery for the global population. Because obviously, they want to treat you like the way we treat cattle. That would be their perfect idea, is to take every human being and turn them into a cow, pig, or sheep.
I think that's absolutely true. You know, the sheeple population that has gone off willingly to get their first and second experimental emergency use vaccines for COVID-19, which they have yet to even isolate, and no one has fully sequenced it. And yet they're trying to tell you that they have a vaccine for it. Well, if they haven't isolated it, they can't make a vaccine. So all that they're hearing, these sheeple, they believe it completely. And so the question is, it's like the time of Lot, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah. They were so sinful that, you know, how many honest people could you find? And then when you did, could that person actually follow the instructions of the divine? And, or like Noah, how many people were actually chosen at that time to survive? Well, even if it's an analogy, the point is not all of humanity is going to make it. And when these types of diminution of consciousness comes, we can see it in a thousand different ways. But we've now seen it, that we have allowed our children and allowed the people in our lives, including ourselves, to be eaten alive by our machines until we have to think machine intelligence instead of the machine thinking anything that might be human. So we are actually being overrun and flooded in a way. They say that Lemuria went up in flames. Well, we got the flames of 5G all around us. They say that Atlantis sunk. We are so sunk into our devices that people can't live without them. If they had to live without their phone or their cell phone or their computer, they could not do it. But this age and the destruction of the world, which isn't supposed to happen for another 6,000 years or so, but unfortunately it looks like there are people very anxious to have the war of all against all happen right now. And that is a terrible thing. And so when we see what's happening with the pandemic, that it had actually become a global commerce killer, and that the internet, that was the device that helped all of this happen, can't be separated from commerce, then there is no solution to the problem. So oftentimes people are terrified at the end that the whole thing's going to completely fall apart, break apart into pieces, and so they become extraordinarily desperate. That's what it looks like in America. The politicians are extraordinarily desperate. But you said it earlier. It's about transformation. It's about those who can survive and will survive must learn to deal with these disruptors, must learn to deal with every single new thing that they throw at you because it's from every direction, whether it's vaccines in your blood, bringing the battlefield into your bloodstream, whether it be EMFs beaming through you, whether it be bad schooling for your children, whether it be bad food, whether it be horrible Tavistock manipulation of your emotions through the media so that you can't really have relationships anymore. You have to have politically correct relationships. So all of these things have come down to what you and I have studied for a long time. Spiritual awareness, whether it be Buddhism, whether it be Hare Krishna, whether it be Christianity, it doesn't really matter. So tell us more about what you say about the future and transformation, and can that transformation actually be the source of the new icons that we're going to need to lead us into the future?
We got on a very topical situation there called vaccines, and I've been learning a lot about vaccines, more than I really want to know. First virologist was a guy we all heard of, but what did he discover? His name was Louis Pasteur, and he discovered that germs kill germs. That's why he started injecting people with a disease. Of course, small amounts. Your body builds up a defense mechanism, and you do not get the disease or transmit the disease. That's the definition of a vaccine. The thing that they were taking now does not seem to be a vaccine. It seems to be a treatment because it doesn't stop the disease from transmitting, and it really doesn't protect you. It protects you from symptoms, but it doesn't protect you from getting the disease. People should really know that, and people should know that Moderna's never made a vaccine, and people should know that all vaccine manufacturers are indemnified from any liability. So whatever they create and give to you, no matter what effect it has on you, you have no recourse except to go through the federal government to get compensated for your wrongful death. What are the challenges that we will face? In the last 25 years, there's been a huge transformation in food. Now, food is essential for everybody. Everybody needs to eat. We know that anyone that controls the seed supply and food controls the population. Who just bought all the farmland? Bill Gates. Billionaires are buying farmland in North and South America at record rates. Why? Because you have a year-round growing season between North and South America, Brazil, and the continental United States and Mexico. So you got year-round supply of food, and you can control the seed by Monsanto's desires and all these other things. You have control of the food supply. And, they've been polluting the food supply for decades. Now, what's happened? 80% of the livestock are consuming all of the 100% of livestock are consuming 80% of the antibiotics that get created and used here in the USA. Why would they need 80% of the antibiotics? Because they're all sick. Why are they all sick? It's because of the food they eat. Cows are not designed to eat genetically modified corn. They're designed to eat grass, but we've lost touch of that. So it starts at the fundamental root in the kitchen. in your body. We have to know our bodies. We have to become more connected to our bodies. That's what happens when you're surrounded by electrical devices and you're plugged in on the internet all day, is that you lose touch with the electrical grounding that you get from being out in nature. You know, we're surrounded by different electrical devices and we are getting disconnected from the natural electrical devices like the sun and the earth. If you want to control your future and have a better future, eat better food, go outside, walk barefoot in the sand and the beach. I think that would be a great solution.
Absolutely. What I'm thinking is, I once took a permaculture course, and it showed that 1/4 acre of land done properly can feed 4 people and give you enough money from your goat milk and your eggs that you can then buy the other things that you need to live, and that from your corn stalks and other things, you can create the ethanol, I think, or some type of gasoline, you know, that can run their car. So basically, 1/4 acre of land could do that. So what you just said is so important. What is the most important thing that we are lacking right now? Topsoil. Without topsoil, we can't go on. And we can go into great detail about that. It's not, everyone thinks water is the number one thing. It's the number two thing. Number three thing we have to be prepared is seeds. And seeds that can produce seeds, not these stupid GMO things. If you can't produce seeds from, you know, that's just sheer insanity. That is basically an extinction event. These are people behind these ideas that are trying to create an extinction event for 3/4 of humanity. It's a worst type of pogrom, genocide, eugenicism that we've ever seen in history. So you have to be prepared. And then you're going to have to ask yourself the question, do you have energy? Where are you going to get your energy from? And then you have to ask a question, what are you going to do for your currency? And then at that point, as long as you have prepared yourself and started growing some food and you have a direct line on food, then you may be able to adapt. And as you say, it's about transformation of these disruptive factors. And we see so many disruptive factors coming in. Now, I want to go back to the virus. You were talking about the virus. I want people to understand this. When you were given viruses when you were young, those viruses stay in you. For instance, the chickenpox, that's an enterovirus. It went in and it stayed in your nerve bundles. And then at some point, maybe if you were really stressed out, it came out and it created herpes, any type of herpes, and or shingles, because shingles is also herpes. Or it could have created a worse type of chickenpox, what they call a virulent chicken pox, which they had to create a second vaccine for. And they're pretty sure that the more virulent form of chicken pox came because of the vaccine itself. Now, that's an example of the way that all of the vaccines you've been given went in and stayed in your body and cropped up again when you were weak and went after whatever system it is that you're weak in. Well, that's exactly what the coronavirus vaccine is going to do, but on a massive scale. But it goes in through messenger RNA, and it basically can create a permanent malfunction of the replication of your own DNA for the rest of your life. And so this is a major attack. We are looking at something as significant as the flood. Something as significant as Lemuria burning, or something that has been predicted, which is that this age will end through the air. Well, we always thought that it was going to be through electromagnetic frequency transmissions, which are killing people left and right. As we well know, 5G, some relate that to the problems that we've seen with coronavirus. So the technology is incredibly evil. We're surrounded by it. There seems to be no solution. So when a civilization gets to this point where no one is at the helm of morality, the question is, what can the moral person do? And that is to go local, not global. to work in your own area, with your own family, with your own region, with your own group, with your own city, and bring to life the things that create life. Because the things that we've been describing here, those all create death. And they're death on purpose. That's eugenicism, or you know, basically genocide. What we want is life on purpose. Now, you can study all kinds of spiritual paths, and they will go on and on and on about how to gain enlightenment or how to gain on the path to enlightenment. And that's what I'm talking about, Nikki. You had said it before, I think. Well, they just need to reach up and get the living archetypes that the Greeks lived with.
Chaos, baby. That's the fundamentals. So people should also know, we kind of covered a lot of ground, but that the seeds that God intended, right, to be used, that self-replicate, and you can use them over and over and over. Well, that's not very profitable, is it really? If you have a patentable seed, see, you can control the seed because you own the seed and the patent. So now when you actually do genetic modification, you talked about affecting the DNA of the people. This affects the DNA of the plant. You start affecting the DNA of the plant and grafting poisons in that are supposed to kill a bug. But if you eat a box of cornflakes, it might just damage you. You know, is that what we want? No. We want the stuff that God invented. We don't want the stuff that man screwed up and tried to feed us. And every other living entity, you know, every animal that we eat is eating pretty much bad food. So we don't have to eat the bad food directly, but if we eat some animals but eat bad food, we get the same result. So you want to know why people allergies are up, like, I don't know, 50-fold? There's all kinds of things that are happening behind the scenes, people getting sick over and over, like chronic diseases and stuff. Where do you think that comes from? Don't you think that comes from what your choices you're making in your daily life? You bet it does. And you can get all kinds of testimonials, even from you, Thomas and Betsy, about how you've transformed your diet in the last decade. As you become more aware, you know, of what's occurring in the food system. So just like the food system is messed up, and it's been transformed over time, right underneath our noses, from something that our grandparents ate to some stuff that comes out of a factory or comes out of food engineers. Well, the same thing's happened to our money, hasn't it? You know, when I used to walk into the bank when I was 8 years old, I could go take a dollar and they would give me a silver dollar, and I had a silver dollar collection. And that was a common thing to do. Now we have a thing called a Federal Reserve note, and it's not backed by anything. And since the Federal Reserve has been in charge, our dollar, which is based on the 1913, was like the last time a dollar was worth $1, to today has gone down about 97% in value. People want to know why is there income inequality. Well, your dollar is being deflated at the rate of 2-3% a year. 20 years goes by or 10 years goes by, you've had a major change in your buying power with that dollar. You may have gotten paid the same amount of dollars. You may have gotten paid more dollars, but your buying power with those dollars went down. And that's the problem. That's why people can't afford their rent. That's why a car is $40,000. The average car, new car, did you know, is $38,000? I mean, when I was growing up, it was $2,500. Right there just shows you the depreciation of the dollar. There's a total picture right there, just the price of cars. What about the price of a loaf of bread? You talk to some senior person that's 85 years old, and they'll tell you, we used to buy bread for 7 cents or a nickel, a loaf of bread. Now a loaf of bread is $5. That's a 100-fold change, man. That's just because of the devaluation of the dollar. And that is the core result of income inequality.
Yes, and bankruptcy, nothing behind it, nothing standing there behind it. And, you know, when you mentioned the vaccines, it reminded me that the British Purbright company and Muriel Animal Group, they already put the vaccines in the animals' food. So we eat it already. So we have already been poisoned with these vaccines through animals, including your dogs and your cats. So it's everywhere, and now they want to do this to us. They're now saying, oh, no, we want to have an aerosol version of the vaccine so we can just spray it over large groups of people so they don't have a choice on whether they're going to take it or not. But this is the kind of thing that the people in the World Economic Forum talk about all the time. This is what they want. They want transhumanism. They want robots. They want chemical control of all human beings. They want basically what's called aggressive remote control of all human, of all things, basically. And who are these people? We've brought them out many times. They're the members of the Pilgrim Society that have worked through organizations in America and in Britain and throughout the whole world to basically set up an elite group and then those below it. And we are below it. And the elite group are like the 3,000 people invited to the World Economic Forum each year because they are the movers and doers, supposedly. In other words, the insider traders who are going to be told the direction that the elite are going to go in the next year. Well, here's what we need to do. Just as you pointed out, and I'm pointing out here again, food is an issue. Food is a massive issue. So what can you do in terms of transformation and dealing with the disruptors of the poisons in your food? Well, unfortunately, you're going to have to take action. You're going to have to study. You're going to have to learn. You're going to have to get some enzymes and figure out what they are. You're going to have to figure out what irradiated food is and the difference between that and non-irradiated food. You're going to have to try to figure out what organic food is about, biodynamic food. Try to get to the point where your food becomes your medicine, just as Hippocrates said in the Hippocratic Oath, let your food be your medicine and your medicine be your food. So that's what we're going to have to get to. So can we get through? Can we transform? Can we adapt enough to get through these poison darts and arrows being sent from all directions at us in the modern age? We can, but it takes consciousness. It takes awakening. It takes higher thinking. It takes morality. It takes ethical thinking. And this is something that the outer world in our Western civilization is not going to teach you. I would sum up, Western civilization is nothing more than hedonism on steroids. It's the seven deadly sins on steroids. So what do you do to counteract that? You do the seven heavenly virtues on steroids. And if you do, you will walk through fire. You will walk across the water. Wings will be given to you when you fall through the air. And that's what we're talking about. The people in the past didn't know their civilizations were dying. They didn't really even understand it as it happened. A few years later, nobody even understood that particular civilization. So are they going to understand the Western civilization of rushing forward as we're doing right now to everything that is death-oriented, that is machine intelligence-oriented? Or are we going to choose life, good food, good water, good soil, good education, good people, good energy, proper energy, and all the things, good seeds, all the things that we need to make life go forwards, not the things that people think they need, 5G, a faster iPhone, a bigger computer, an electric car, whatever. So these are the things that can get us through. Because if we can learn to adapt, and how do we do that? It's just like with vaccines. You take a little bit of the evil into yourself as you study it, just like a vaccine has a little bit of the virus. If you believe in viruses, it has a little bit of the virus in a vaccine. Well, we have a little bit of that evil in us. And when we can understand that evil, then we can counteract it when we have a direct contact with it. And that's the theory of vaccines, which comes from the theory of homeopathy. And homeopathy actually works on these things as a form of medical treatment, whereas many of these allopathic basically petrochemically designed human synthetic drugs have led us to death. But what we really need to do is move towards that which is life.